Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the radio world. This is the Chaos Talk Show with your host, the one and only Derek Oliver.
It's chaos time and my time is shining. Say what I want to say. If you don't like it, then I'm going to say it anyway. I bring in the real. This is the deep.
The name of this song is just simply Total Praise.
Miscommunication on my part and the starting of being late today, amen. But nonetheless, we're here and we're grateful to be here, and it is a blessing to be a part of this ministry and sharing the word of the Most High and blessing the children of God, amen. So again, hopefully wherever you are, you've been enjoying some nice warm weather. As I told you, I'm a huge fan of nice weather here. And so I've been enjoying it here. And so hopefully we'll have many more days before the season change. Amen. But nonetheless, amen, we're going to go ahead and get into the word. We're going to say a quick prayer. And we're going to go ahead and look at some scriptures. We're teaching from the book of Revelation. Amen. So we're going to go ahead and jump right in, okay? Now, let's go ahead and start out with a prayer today. Amen. Dear most gracious Heavenly Father, we come thanking you for life itself. We thank you for our precious lives. We thank you for our family, friends, and loved ones. We thank you for those who are near and dear to us, dear Heavenly Father. Master, we just come thanking you right now for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for another blessed day that only you said that we should be here. Amen. So we are grateful for our life, our health, and our strength, dear Heavenly Father. We come praying that you bless us to have better health, amen, better strength, better diet, dear Heavenly Father. Bless us to have good exercise, dear Heavenly Father, whether it be walking or in the gym. Just bless us and strengthen us, dear Heavenly Father. Strengthen our minds, dear Heavenly Father. Bless us and keep us and keep our minds spiritually from the world's poison. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for love. Most of all, we thank you for the greatest gift to mankind. That's your Son, amen, Yahshua Christ. Amen. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for the redemption. Amen. Of salvation, and that we will be with you for all eternity. Amen. We bless and praise your holy name forevermore. Amen. Amen. All right. So with that being said, we're going to go ahead and get into the word. We're not going to, amen, prolong any longer. Amen. Once again, I do apologize for the start. So I'm going to also read to you today. I know I hadn't been reading in a while. I'm going to read, the context of love, which is coming from 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 31, and 2, 1 Corinthians, the entire 13th chapter. So let's go ahead and start. It says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Amen. So what is the more excellent way? It is love. Amen. I tell everyone that I meet, amen, how do you know that you are a true believer? We have a signature that no one else have. We have a signature of love. We show love. We show love unconditionally. We don't worry about people as far as what they think, their lives. Amen. We're going to continue to believe the word. Amen. Now, we know that there's a promotion of love all of a sudden. Amen. In the world. And people have been promoting this, I would say, probably even more so in the last 5 years. Amen. But I've noticed that people try to use that language, amen, because we've been using this language, amen. I've been using it since I've been saved, amen, because I understood what the word, amen, said about love. I understood what love is, because love is unconditioned, amen. Irregardless of how you feel about me, irregardless of how you treat me, I'm going to love you, show love, because why? That's what Christ did. You think about when Christ died on the cross, amen, look how they did him. He still loved him. He still sacrificed his life, amen, for mankind. Because why? He loved us. And that's why the scriptures, amen, over in St. John, the 3rd chapter, verses 15 and 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And that's what that means, because irregardless of how people do you, you love. That's something that we as man cannot understand. We cannot interpret the power of God's, Yahweh's love. Amen. So if you ever ask me, would I ever give up any of my children to save anyone? I just say, well, that person is in big trouble. Amen. That's just the truth. And I love my kids. I'm not sacrificing my kids for nobody. Amen. But that's the power of love that he has, unconditional love. And you got to understand, we are not God and we're not Christ. We're not perfect. Amen. But we know that his love is perfected. It's perfect love, amen. And we know that we exercise this love, but we don't exercise it continually, amen. But he exercises the love, amen, all the time, amen. That's why we say all the time God is good, and all the time God is good all the time, and all the time God is good, amen, because he is good. Because we know that only a good, loving, precious Heavenly Father could do such a thing, amen, where he will sacrifice his only Son, amen, to redeem man. Amen. Let me first read what it says. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profit me nothing. Charity suffered long in its kind. Charity envied not. Charity vaunted not itself, is not puffed up, did not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now about it, faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. And charity meaning love. Amen. Ain't that precious? That last verse just tops it off. Verse 13, it says, and now about it, faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Charity meaning love. That is so beautiful. I just love that last verse. Just has a ring to it. It's like a hug. It's just a warm feeling when you read that verse, because it just lets you know that God is with you no matter what. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're dealing with, who you're dealing with, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake thee. Amen. That's a powerful verse. Amen. So I just want to share that with you. Amen. So we're going to go ahead and move forward into his holy word. Amen. Amen. I'm kind of torn between some things that I want to discuss today. Actually, I want to discuss the demons, because I know we've been talking about the demons over in Revelation and how things are going to be unleashed on this earth. Amen. But today we're going to come back and revisit that thought. I think today I'm going to talk about the mark of the beast. Just a little bit, amen. I've been noticing some things with this mark of the beast, and, you know, people think they're slick, you know, the people who serve Satan. I've seen people put the 666 upside down. You'll see 999, and don't be fooled by that. Don't be fooled by that. You know, Satan has so many different tricks that, you know, you can't be fooled by a certain thing. I'm like, 999. All you have to do is flip it upside down. What is it? It's 666. And so I see that, and there's a company that kind of has that as part of their entity. So you got to be careful about some things that you see, amen, because there's a lot of demonic evil things in this world. You know, people will try to disguise things, but, you know, we have to be just as wise and crafty and clever as the believers to notice these things. We have to be wise in the spirit to know these things when we see them. So I'm just going to touch on the mark of the beast a little bit, amen, which is coming from Revelation, the 13th chapter. We're going to jump a little bit. I know we've been kind of going in order, because we know that Revelation, the 6th chapter, covers the entire of the tribulation itself. So we go over to Revelation, the 13th chapter, okay? And it talks about who? The beast, which we know who the beast is. The beast is who? The Antichrist. Now, the anti means to remove. That word in the Greek translates to remove. He wants to remove Christ, amen? And we know that the Antichrist spirit, which is the satanic Luciferian spirit, has always sought, from the time of the garden when Yahweh told Lucifer to his face, and he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel, meaning that those ones are going to destroy you, which was his son, Christ. He told him. So Satan already knew that Christ was coming. Amen. And so you think about that. Amen. You think about Satan, Lucifer, knowing that Christ is coming. He had to set out a plan of the ages to try to remove Christ, because he knew if he could destroy or remove Christ, he could rule. Amen? That's what he wanted. He did not want Christ to come back and end things. He wants to stop Christ. Amen? So the Most High, amen, he knew what Satan was up to, okay? But Yahweh gave who? Our Lord and Savior, Yahshua, the victory. We have the victory. He could not remove Christ. I mean, he tried to remove him from the time he was a child all the way up until he was an adult at the age of 33, and when they sacrificed him, which really played into who? God's plan, amen, because they thought that they was doing something, but, amen, when they killed and murdered him, it was a sacrifice for all of mankind, for us as the children of the Most High, amen. So another thing I've been noticing is that, and maybe it's just me, I've been noticing there seems to be a lot of tragedies, I'm sorry, got a little tongue tied. There's been a lot of things, a lot of floods going on in the world. And I don't know if this has happened at any time in the past. Now, we know that God did flood the earth many years ago during the time of Noah, but I'm just talking about, I can't recall a time in my life that I've seen on the news so many floods, and it's mainly over in Europe and in Asia. And I thought that was just strange. I said, you know what? Because I think about the ice up there around Russia and how, you know, they talk about global warming. I said, well, maybe that's what it is. Maybe a lot of that ice is melting, which is causing a overflow of water into the lakes and the rivers and the sea, which is causing a lot of, basically it's almost like it's sinking. Oh, man, you know, floods can be very, very dangerous. You can't play with floods. And, man, just seeing that water rush down those streets, people are up to their chest in the water. And I thought that was just so bizarre and amazing. I said, well, man, you know, Paul talked about the signs. Amen. My dad used to always talk about the signs of the time, you know. So there are just some things that are happening in the world that we cannot ignore. As the church, amen, what did Christ say? Amen. What did Paul say? We are to watch. Meaning to watch. We are to pay attention to what's going on in the world. Why? Because we're looking for the return of our Lord and Savior. Amen. Now, the rest of the world, they have no clue of what's going on. Amen. Unless they hear a preacher, the Bible says, how can you hear unless you hear, amen, a preacher? So if you don't hear a preacher, someone preaching, amen, then there you go. There you have it. Amen. There you have it. So guess what? Guess what? We got to be watching. We have to pay attention to what's going on. Amen. So now let's go ahead and move forward. Amen. Let's look at the Mark of the Beast, Revelation the 13th chapter. Amen. I just want to read some verses. Just a few. Amen. And I just want to read some verses right now. Amen. We'll come back and get deep and break down the horns and the ten horns or what all that means. But right now, I just want to read verse 1 and 2, okay? Amen. This is what it says. It says, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him power, his power and his feet and great authority. Amen. It's referring to the beast, the Antichrist, and Lucifer here. This is what it's referring to. Amen. So we'll kind of get into the breakdown of that here in the near future. The near future, I'm going to break this chapter down a little bit more into detail. I know we broke it down before, but I know that this round you want to go a little bit deeper into the scriptures to know what these different signs and the symbolic meanings, what do they mean? Okay, but I also want to look at verse 8, amen, verse 8 and 9 of Revelation, the 13th chapter. And it says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Who are we worshiping? Well, not we, but who are they worshiping at this time in the seven-year period, in the last 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation? They're worshiping the Antichrist, Lucifer, Satan himself, amen. Satan himself, the Antichrist, is going to be brought back to life, amen. And watch this. It says, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. We just talked about how they slain Christ, amen. How since the foundation of the world, Lucifer knew that Christ was what? Coming into the world at some point. He knew since the foundation of the world. He knew. from the beginning that he was coming, and that there was a plan of the ages from the Most High, that the Lamb was coming, amen, and he was going to win. He was going to defeat Satan. Now, some people didn't believe that. Some people still don't believe that. But he's going to rule. We're going to rule with him for 1,000 years. We got the victory. We are on the winning side. We are on the winning team, amen. Don't you want to be a winner? It doesn't matter who you are, your situation, whether you're rich, poor, middle class, shut in, not shut in, sick, well, it doesn't matter. I mean, when I say shut in, that can mean incarcerated, or people who may be incarcerated or not incarcerated. It doesn't matter. You can still have the victory while you're incarcerated, because you want to know why? You're free in him. Amen. He got the victory because, amen, whether you are serving in a long-term sense to where you don't know if you're going to get out, man, he's giving you the victory. You have eternal life, and eternal life is going to be far more freedom and better than the time that you may do on this earth. Amen. Why? Because he is giving you the victory. We want you to win. You are a winner. Amen. Irregardless of what man say, it don't matter what nobody say, because all that matters is what you do for Christ. And all he has the last word. Christ has the last say-so. And you have won when you are in Christ. It don't matter your situation. It don't matter if you're terminally ill. It don't matter what you did. It don't matter if you're broke and poor, if you're unemployed right now. He has given you the victory. See, it ain't all about having money and prestige and everybody know your name and fame and all that stuff. You got such a huge following on social media. None of that stuff matters. You think Christ cares about people who got millions of followers? He can care less. He wants to know, are you saved and do you believe and serve him? Because only what you do for Christ shall last. Amen? So we're looking at here in Revelation 8 chapter. It says, and the names are not written in the book of life. If you don't accept Christ during this seven-year period and you accept that mark of the beast, you are doomed to hell and the lake of fire. Mainly, you're doomed to the lake of fire for all eternity. Amen. We don't want that for no one because, why? We love the brothers. We love the sisters. We want you to receive salvation. Amen. Now, watch what it says. It says, if any man have an ear, let him hear. That word here in the Greek means to understand. Let him understand. It says, if any man have an ear, well, how can you have an ear? The Bible says, let's go over to Romans real quick. Romans, the 10th chapter. I'm going to show you what Romans, the 10th chapter says. Amen. Let's see what Romans, the 10th chapter says. Amen. Let's see what it says. Romans, the 10th chapter. Romans, the 10th chapter. Give me a moment. Take me some time to get to my word, to get this. You know, I'm old school. I like to do the scriptures instead of go through the devices. I just love that paper and reading the word. I got the markings in my Bible. I'm old school like my dad. I just like to flip through them verses, flip through the word. This is what it says, amen? It says in Romans, the 10th chapter, verse 14, is this what it says? It says, how then shall they call on him and whom they have not believed? Paul is referring to Christ. How can they call on him? Who is him? Christ, Yahshua, our Lord and Savior. How can they call on him in whom they have not believed? Paul asked a question. How can they? And watch what Paul said. Paul said to conclude, he said, and how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? So Paul wants to know, how can you believe in Christ? Okay. How can you call on him? Okay. In whom they have not believed. And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not? So in other words, to reverse what Paul is saying, Paul said you have to hear the word first in order to believe the word. See, you just can't believe in Christ if you never heard the word of God. You have to hear about Christ, then you believe in Christ. Now watch what he said. He said, and how shall they hear? The word here in the Greek means to what? Understand. And how shall they understand without a who? A preacher. You have to have someone to preach the word to you, and you have to give an ear to the preaching of the word. So if you're listening to this show right now, you have an ear. Because why? You desire to hear, amen, the word of God. And the word says, it says, if any man have an ear, in other words, desire to hear the word of God, you're listening to the word, you're listening diligently week in and week out, It says, let him hear. In other words, let him understand. Yahweh will give you an understanding if you just continue to listen. Amen. All glory to the Most High. All glory to the Most High. Amen. Now watch this. All glory to the Most High. Now watch this. Amen. Now, something important here in this verse here. We're talking about the mark of the beast because so many people I keep hearing over and over and over talking about the mark of the beast, talking about, oh, they're about to make the mask mandatory. Oh, everybody got to wear the mask. That's the mark of the beast. That is not the mark of the beast. You putting the mask in your face is not the mark of the beast because you know what it says? It says that, let's go over to Revelation. Let's go a little bit deeper. Let's go over to Revelation, if we can find it. Amen. All glory to the Most High. Amen. I'm looking for where it talks about how they're going to have this marking. Amen. It's going to be in their either their forehead or their hand. Amen. And so if you accept it, then we know that what? That you are doomed. There we go. Amen. Amen. I'm looking for it here in the book. Amen. I'll probably have to come back to it. Amen. I have so many scriptures. Amen. In my mind, I just can't think of what verse it is. But amen. I may be in the chapter of words in Revelation chapter 13, but I'll come back to it. Amen. But I was talking about where it talks about where they should have the mark either in their forehead or in their hand. So it's not a mask on your face. It's not something to where, not no shot in the arm. You just hear so many different things. And you just sit back and watch social media. And it's just so funny. And so many people are just listening to this stuff. It's like, man, that's not even in the Bible nowhere. At least not from what I've read. Amen. The Bible says it's going to be either in your forehead or in your hand. I'll come back and find it in a minute. But what I want to deal with, amen, is the fact that, number one, the church will not be here during this time period. And I say this all the time. The thing is that the church, amen, for one, the church won't be here. But the thing is that God is not going to punish. See, let me say this first. Because most people don't understand, I got to say this, most people don't understand the purpose of the tribulation, okay? Because Israel has 7 more years, amen, in which it had to do its job. So they were given this last 7 years on earth during Satan's rule. Satan's rule is going to end with the last 7 years, and that last 3.5 years, he's going to rule the earth. The last 3.5 years, the Antichrist is going to rule the first 3.5 years. Now, together, it's going to still be the Antichrist, but Satan's going to come in and possess his body. And it's going to be Satan on earth, just like Christ came and he was what? God on earth. Amen. All glory to the Most High. Amen. Now, watch this. Now, watch this. Amen. You think about this, okay? The church will not be judged and persecuted with the unbelievers. Now, what sense does that make when people say, oh, well, the church is going to be here that last 7 years? The church will not be here that last 7 years. That makes absolutely no sense, as a matter of fact. Why does that make no sense? Because, again, why would God choose to? You got to understand the purpose of the tribulation. The purpose of the tribulation is going to be for the Jews are going to minister the last 7 years, and God, is the day of the law, he's going to judge the earth. He's going to persecute them and have turned their backs. Amen. Christ is going to persecute them because why? They have cursed and scorned God. They have cursed God out. Amen. They have no regards, no respect for the Most High. And what's going to happen? Judgments and persecutions. So we won't be here. Why would he need to judge us and persecute us with the unbelievers? That makes absolutely no sense. Amen. Now, I want to share this with you, okay? A lot of people think that the mark of the beast may be money, okay? Well, we know that from the way I can tell, working for a bank, and a banking financial system, is that I can tell you right now that they are just about near and close with dealing with money. Paper is about to be gone. It amazes me every day how, just working for the bank, I was like, man. And even me, myself, I hardly ever use cash. That's just being truthful, because it's so convenient. They've made it so easy and convenient for you to just use your card. And now they're getting away from the card. Why? Because so many people are stealing, hey man, people's debit card information, the credit card information, that they've made to where you can basically put your card number in a device like a cell phone, a tablet, and it's encrypted with a fake number that is not associated with your debit card. How neat is that? And now the banks have it to where you can actually go to an ATM now and withdraw cash with your smartphone. I'm like, wow. We are really, really getting away from a cashless society. At some point, I believe in the very, very near future, there's not going to be a point, there's not going to be even a need for a debit card. We already don't have a need for a debit card anymore, just about. But not even a need. Golly, I'm thinking about this. I just had a revelation. There's not even a need for cash pretty soon, because what's going to happen is our ATMs, you're going to be able to just transfer your money from your main account to your device. I'm thinking about that. I'm like, how mind-blowing is that? Transfer the money from your account entity to your device, and your device is going to act as like a debit card or cash, and you're going to go out and use your debit card, I mean your device everywhere. Wow. You think about that. And a lot of people say that's the mark of the beast. Not necessarily the mark of the beast, I would say, but does it have something to do with it? I can see it, because you want to know why? You want to know why? Amen. Because, again, the Bible says what? Without the mark, you will not be able to buy nor sell. It's like, wow. You think about that. So these things are set up. Amen. The world is getting prepared. They're preparing the scene for the Antichrist. They're preparing the scene for when the Antichrist come on this earth. Amen. When he comes on the scene, guess what? Guess what? Oh, my gosh. It's going to be already laid out, set up for the Antichrist. And all the world got to do is just accept the mark and bow down and worship him, worship that image. That is really, really something. I'm just thinking about that. Just think about the revelation of that. So the issue with paper money is that it can be stolen. It can be burned, misused, misplaced. Which they say, okay, this is not a good method, that money could be misused. We know that there's a lot of money laundering, a lot of people not reporting taxes, people getting paid on the table. That's no more. They're going to be able to track every single – this is the mark of the beast. This is the system of the Babylonian economic system. See, that's over in Revelation, the 18th chapter. Revelation, the 18th chapter, because you're talking about Babylon, and it's a there's two systems of Babylon. There's the religious Babylon and the economic Babylon, which is all together, and which this system has always been around since ancient Babylon. And they have been using this ancient system. See, what's something that, see, the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. And if it ain't broke, don't fix it. They've been using this ancient system, and they have found out. I read this book, amen, and it's called The Richest Man in Babylon. And if you read that book, they have found techniques from scrolls and information from ancient Babylon that has helped people to become wealthy and rich. And say, if you do these certain things, you can have money. I'm like, really? And you think about that ancient system that people used thousands and thousands of years ago, they're using it today to become wealthy. So guess what? This system never went away. They're using it before your eyes. You're just not aware. They just keep advancing this economic Babylonian system as time progresses. Okay? Man, there's a lot to talk about today. Amen. A lot to talk about. Now, you think about that. Once again, as I said, there's a lot of money laundering. A lot of people are misusing money. Money can be stolen. I remember one time I came out of Walmart, I was, like, very upset. I wasn't upset, but I was very upset enough. I lost $100. I'm like, how in the world did I just lose $100? And I said, you know, over time I got over it. That's kind of hard to swallow when you just lose $100. I don't know about for a lot of y'all, but $100 is a lot for me. Amen. All glory be to the Most High. But I said to myself, I had to have a good attitude about it. I said, well, maybe somebody, whoever found it, probably needed it more than I did. And I keep telling myself that, and over the years I tell them, and that helps me to deal with it. I said, well, maybe they needed it more than I did, so God bless them. Amen. And so you think about that. No more misplacing your money. No more. Nobody can't stick you up and hold you up and rob you. This is part of the again, Babylonian economic system that we're, that the world is going into, amen, as they prepare for the Antichrist to come over and rule the world. You won't be able to buy nor sell without the mark. You won't even be able to have an account, okay, or any association with the financial institution, okay? Again, credit cards and debit cards. We know that credit cards have always been popular for many years now, longer than debit cards. But debit cards came in on the scene, I think, in the 90s, maybe the late 80s. I'm not for certain. But debit cards came on the scene to where you use that plastic like a credit card from your bank account. Again, plastic money. So we have paper money. We have plastic money. But it also may be stolen, misused, abused. People get a hold of your card information, your debit card, credit card. Guess what? Same scenario, same situation. People rob and steal. I remember one time I stopped in this little small country town and got gas. And when I got home, I think that Monday morning, I looked at my bank account. $800-some was missing out of my account. Somebody was going on a shopping spree in Canada. I've never even been to Canada. And they just going on a shopping spree on my account in Canada. Oh, my gosh, are you for real? So these are the type of things that we have to deal with. But guess what? The system that's coming into play now is going to be so advanced, it's going to be hard for people to hack your account. Unless they really, really are good hackers, they're going to have to hack into your bank account or be on the inside of the bank to steal money. That's the type, and that's another thing. No more bank robberies. Think about that. If you got no cash in the bank, well, how you going to rob the bank? You can't rob a bank if there's no money and there's no cash in there. So, again, they're about to do away with this old system. This is the new world. I really believe I said this in the very beginning last year. I believe that this whole virus was a screen. It's a smoke screen for them preparing it to set up their new world order system, which is the Babylonian system. They're going to full-fledged go forward with this system. Again, so that when the Antichrist come on the scene, you know, Lucifer wants to be like the Most High. He wants to be omniscient. He wants to be all-knowing, omnipresent. He wants to be all-seeing and all-powerful. Amen? And so you think about these things. He can't be. We know that. But this Internet has allowed the whole entire world to be connected and to see everything. And I remember them saying on, I think it was a video, it was some TV show they were talking about, and they didn't know how they just say things in these movies. They were just saying how with these cell phones, but anything that has a camera, they can see you. I'm like, what? They say, yes, anything that has a camera, like a tablet, a smartphone, I believe in your TV. I've even heard through your TV screen they can see you. I'm just like, your computer screen. I'm just like, this is nuts. And I think I shared this story before, too. This was a long time ago when we got our first home computer back in like 2000, 2001. I'll never forget my wife was sitting down at the computer one day. And she just started frantically calling me in there into, you know, where the little computer area was. And I ran around there and I said, what's going on? What's going on? She just kept calling. She said, Tim, come here, come here. There was a lady on the computer. This was in the early 2000s. Now, this ain't 2005, 2010, 2015, 2020, 2021. This was in the early 2000s when we first got our home computer. She said, there's a woman on the screen. And there was. There was like a little woman. It's like a little box picture of her. She had somehow hacked into our computer. This was in the early 2000s. Hacked into the computer, into our camera, to where she could see our, in our house. But we could see our computer revealed her to where we could see her. And when she was coming, I ran around and saw her. Somehow she had disconnected. Man, I took that little computer ball camera back then. It was like a little ball sitting on top of your computer. Man, I took that junk down and never put it up again. Hey, man, I said, what in the world is going on? And it made me, you know, because I was already leery about getting a computer. It made me think, I had in the mindset that wow, they tell me how to evil the computer is. This is the mark of the beast. You know, back then I didn't know about it. I said, well, maybe this is the mark of the beast. Maybe this is evil. But the computer can be used for a good thing, but people also use it for a bad and evil thing as well. So you have to be careful. But, man, I have not had a camera on my computer since then. And then I heard recently years ago, I said, somebody said, brother, well, they can see you anyway. It don't matter if you got a camera or not. They can still see us. Like, really? So, yes. It's like, man, we can't. So I said that to say this, that the power of the Internet has connected us worldwide like never before. Unless you're just way out in the boondocks country in the jungle and you have no connection to any device or anything electronic or the Internet, that would be the only way that you can escape or seem to escape this thing to where Lucifer is trying to put everyone on the grid. He's trying to track everyone. Who knows? You never know what their plan is. I hear, you know, rumors and stuff about militaries from these first world countries are moving into these third world countries, and you never know what their intent is. Maybe they're trying to set up something to where they're going into these jungles to seek people out, and you know, you just never know what they're up to. Again, they're setting the stage for the Antichrist. Okay, so we're talking about the 666 today. Is it possible? Is it relevant? Yes, we know that it's going to be possible because the Book of Revelation talks about it. We know that it's very relevant. Because we as the church, amen, we need to be knowledgeable of these things, though we don't have to worry about it. That's the blessed thing about it, because our Lord and Savior and his Son and the Holy Spirit has made a way for the church to escape. As I told you before, we are not going to have to worry about bullets, and I keep hearing this stuff about guns, and it's like almost every week I keep hearing people talk about stuff about preparing. I'm like, what in the world? Prepare for what? I'm not buying no gun. I'm not buying no bullets and all that stuff and a bazooka and all. That's for you all. If y'all want to run out there and spend your money on that mess, you go right there. I'd rather go buy food than hey, man, I was going to the most. I had to laugh at myself. I'd rather go buy food and groceries and essentials and necessities for the house than to go buy. Man, you know, we don't worry about that thing. The Bible said that the Most High has not given us the spirit of fear. We don't fear these things. We don't. If these folks want to get out here and purge, go purge. Go purge, man. If that's your thing, I am saved. He has not given me the spirit of fear. Amen. I've faced things in my life to like, okay, and what? Okay, I serve the Most High God. You ain't saying nothing. You ain't doing nothing. So, amen, we give him all the glory and all the praise. Amen. I've been that way, and I'm going to stay that way until he calls me home or until the great by and by, until he come and crack that sky open, and we are going home to be with him forevermore. Amen. We will rule and reign with him for all eternity. Amen. That's what I look forward to. That's what my heart is. Amen. I'm not caught up to this worldly thing and trying to protect stuff. I hear so many people, like, I work at the bank, and, man, people were surprise you and shock you, man. I mean, people are just so much into materialistic things, whether it be money, cars, clothes. People just, they're just so afraid to lose things. They're so afraid. And don't get me wrong, rightfully so to an extent, because you do work, you work hard, you work all your life, and you don't want something just taken from you all of a sudden. But here's the thing. The best thing for us is to what? Acknowledge the Most High God. Get ready for the return of Christ. Get ready to go home. Amen. Don't be out here worried about digging this big, gigantic hole in the ground and trying to live in and to build a shelter and a bunker and all this old stuff I'm seeing. You know, because trust me, behind the scenes, they got these camps. They are getting ready. Amen. As you are going about your daily lives, as you're watching TV, see, they got so many distractions. Excuse me, they got so much entertainment to entertain you from what's really going on. Amen. And this is why it's important, amen, that we, amen, watch as the church, okay? Amen. So some people talk about, you know, this thing with the 666. What is it going to be? I've heard people say it's going to be a chip. That's a possibility. I saw this documentary and how they were showing. I don't know how in the world they do this, but they got these little bitty, small, tiny chips that you can hardly even see visible with your eyes. Now, how in the world are they able to create that little tiny chip? And to and this, if they put a magnifying glass up to it, and it show how it was designed, and it was as if you, if, I don't know if you remember back in the day, but in the 80s, those little chips were bigger, and you could see them a little bit more. But they got them so small and so tiny now that you can hardly see them. And they said they're even more powerful than the chips 20 and 30 years ago. I'm just like, wow, really? And so you think about these things, this technology that they have, and I can see that. I can see that they're going to probably make people put a chip in their head or and definitely in their hand. And that just makes me just wonder, I'm like, who in the world would want that junk on their forehead or in their hand? I just couldn't fathom the fact. And there, and we know that it's already out there. There are people who already accepted this mark in their hand, and they're test run. Because, see, no, when they do things, they do a test pilot. They do a beta on anything that they do, and they do it years before they introduce it to the entire world. Again, this pandemic is a smokescreen because we know this is the first time in a very long time that we know that seizure taxed the world, okay? But understand when they say the world, he really just taxed what we call the known world, which is right there in the Mediterranean, right there in the lower parts of Europe, some parts of Asia, Asia Minor, all the way coming down to the northern parts of Africa. That was it, because that was the known world to the Roman Empire. That was the known world. They didn't rule the entire planet. They didn't have an army powerful enough or strong enough. And if you read the history of Romans, they went to several countries and got bagged out. I know they got bagged out of Africa several times because they didn't have the army powerful enough to go that far and that distance, see? And so we know that when we talk about Rome, and the reason I have to mention Rome, because we know that Rome is going to rule again here in the last, in these evil days. Now, we know the brother Elder Bazaar, amen, gave us a clue as to who the Antichrist possibly is on the earth at this time, amen. And he talked about how he's coming out of Spain, the Roman Empire, the Roman Roman powers. We know about the Roman Catholics and stuff and how they have a huge influence and impact in the Vatican over the world. Amen. And so we see these things come back into play, and now their hand and their power has been working behind the scenes. They never really went away. They've been working behind the scenes quietly in a small, tiny city-like country, manipulating the world, manipulating the earth behind the scenes in all these different countries and governments. How? Through secret societies, through secret organizations, fraternities, sororities. You see them everywhere. And people are under this evil, satanic, Luciferian rule brotherhood, this snake brotherhood that is still working today. And they're working just behind the scenes. They had to. You couldn't work out in the open anymore because why? Of fear that someone may attack them. A good large number of people may disagree, and they may attack. And so they have to do it behind the scenes. And so then in the very end, as we're getting closer and closer to the end, they're going to implement. They're going to come step on the scene. They'll be out in the open again, okay? So, again, we're talking about the mark of the beast, the 666, and all glory be to the Most High as his people, as the children of God, the Most High God. We won't even be here, amen, for this nonsense. And that's exactly what it is. It's a bunch of nonsense. We won't even be here. So you don't have to fear. I mean, I have some family members that say silly stuff, talking about, oh, well, we're going to be here. No, I tell them, no, you will be here. I won't be here. And, you know, they won't even try to tell me I'm going to be here. No, I'm not going to be here. You may be here, but I'm not going to be here. Amen, for that nonsense. So you'll be the one that's taking the mark of the beast if it happens here sooner within our lifetime or not. Hopefully, you know, we don't know. We don't know if it's going to happen in our lifetime or not, but I'm just saying if it does, amen, we'll be out of here. Amen, all glory be to the Most High. But I hate it for the billions of people on this planet that will take part in that. Amen, because if you're here, because we know that in that first 3.5 years, the 144,000 is going to come on the scene. Amen. And scholars and theologians alike and Bible study scholars believe, amen, that the 144,000 may carry over into that last 3.5 years. We don't know if they'll all be out of here. We don't know if they're going to be all murdered. Some may still be around preaching the word that last 3.5 years, but we know that the two witnesses is going to come on the scene, and they're going to be strongly preaching the word, amen. But Lucifer is going to be so mad at them, amen, for preaching the word that he's going to get after them. Amen. So we believe that they will be, because we know that it talks about not only just 144,000, but there's going to be some believers in that last 3.5 years. Because why? We know that Lucifer, again, the Antichrist and the powers that will be under the Antichrist is going to go after the children of God. Amen. That's going to be over in Revelation, the 12th chapter, if you can read and study on that. Amen. But, again, I mean, you have to really think about, amen, some of the things, amen, that is going on in this life and in this world. We have to prepare ourselves as the children of the Most High God. We are preparing ourselves for the return of Christ. We're getting ready to go home, church, amen, if we believe that he's going to come back soon again. We don't know, but if we just want to watch. He said watch. To watch means to be ready. See, if I say I'm coming to get you, but I don't tell you exactly what time I'm coming to get you, you need to be watching. You need to be ready. You just be ready for when I show up. It don't matter when I'm coming. You just be ready for when I show up. Amen? And so even if we pass away, you are still ready for the return of Christ, because we know that Paul said that the dead in Christ shall what? Be risen first, and those that are alive and remain shall not precede them. In other words, we're not going to prevent them. They're going to go before the people that's alive on the earth. Amen. All glory be to the Most High. Amen. So again, amen, you want to think about some things, amen, as we are in this day and age. Amen. I know that the minister, Elder Bazaar, he pointed out very well when he said that he was saying that the amen. And he was talking about the kind of lost train of thought. I'll probably come back to it. Amen. The enemy's on attack today for some reason. Amen. But you know, we just want to be prepared, amen, for when the return of Christ is going to take place. And so we want to make sure that we are doing what we're supposed to do, showing love, spreading the gospel, spreading the word, because why? We don't want to he was talking about us being in the last church or the Laodicean church, which is what I was about to find out. I was about to get back to that. Now, we don't want to be nonchalant about people's salvation. In other words, we don't want to just care about ourselves. We want everyone to take place in salvation, okay? We don't want people to be left behind. I know I don't. I don't want people, but we understand that a lot of people is going to be lost, a whole lot of people. But our job is to get as many people saved as possible, okay? You want to preach the word of God in season and out of season. Again, we don't want nobody to be lost. Amen. We want you to receive salvation. Become saved, okay? Amen. Okay, so there it is. I do apologize. There it is. It's way at the very bottom of, it is at the very bottom of Revelation, the 13th chapter. It's in verse 16 and 17. Wow, there we go. So it says in Revelation, the 13th chapter, verses 16 and 17, 18. Let's just read it all the way out. Wow, I've been searching for, looking for that. It's funny how I was looking for all in 17 and 18. So it says, in verse 16, and he causeth all. Amen. Now, when it says all, it's referring to those who are unbelievers, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond. Now, understand. There are small people now. Now, when it says small, there are people who consider you small, maybe because of your last name, your family name. They consider you a nobody. Amen. You know, maybe I would fit into that number. You know, sometimes people will try to make you feel like you're a nobody. That's fine. You know, I'm a humble person. Amen. I can accept that. Some people like thinking of themselves as great, maybe because of their family name or their money in the bank or their prestige or their family is well known. Maybe they got some famous people in their family, like some entertainers or some athletes. So they think of themselves as great. Amen. They say, I ain't small, but we the Joneses. We the Johnsons or the Williams or the Jacksons or the Scotts. You know, they think of themselves as somebody great, you know, amen. And then it says rich and poor. So during this time, you have the same types of people on the earth in the Great Tribulation, just like now. So that tells me that the world's going to go on just like, you know, as if the church hasn't even went home. I mean, the Jews are probably going to have sports, entertainment. We're going to have the same stuff that we have now pretty much in the tribulation. Okay? Now, rich people, now poor people in the tribulation, free and bond. There's going to be people who are going to be free, not incarcerated. You're going to have people that's bonded. They're going to be in prison. Or, you know, free and bond can be so many different things. Maybe some people have a freedom of mind. They're just living a free life. Amen. They don't live according to nobody else's tune. Well, some people may what live in bondage. They may care what other people think. Amen. So I think that there can have a few different interpretations, but we'll get into that, amen, in the future, because I see there's a Greek word for bond. Amen. I'll look at that here in a minute. But it says to receive a mark in their right hand. Amen. As I said, it says the right hand. So we know what hand is going to be on. See, the word is very detailed when it comes to Paul. I mean, sorry. John was very detailed in the scriptures when he talked about the mark of the beast. You hear so many people talking about, oh, a mask on your face. It's not a mask on your face, people. It says a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. Now, so it makes me wonder, will it be both? Because it says or, so either or. So either you're going to have it on your forehead or in your hand. So you got to, if you don't want it both, some people are going to be crazy. They're going to be so sold out to Lucifer. They're going to get, you know, just like you see all these people with all these Durian tattoos everywhere, all about. People got sleeves. You got some people got sleeves on both of them. You got some folks that got tattoos all over their body. I'm like, who in the world has the money and the time to let somebody set up and draw on their entire body? I think that is so nuts, okay? Excuse my word, my language, but that's just my opinion. I think that's nuts. You got to be out of your mind and let somebody set up and draw all over. Your body is so beautiful and precious. I don't think I'm judging. I'm kind of judging, but not like you think. If you into that type of thing, you go right here. I'm not saying that you can't be saved and have that stuff. But I think for me, I just, again, free and in bondage. I'm free from that. Amen. There's just some things that we're just free from. Amen. Because the Bible talks about us being what? Free from sin. Amen. So I looked at the word bond in the Greek. It means to be a slave. So again, it's talking about people who are probably in prison or again, bondage. There are people who are still slaves today. We just found out that recently that somebody was enslaving this woman for the last 20 or 30 years. So people are still in slavery today. So it doesn't mean just bondage as a, it could be a servant, it says. Or, you know, you could be a person that's subjected, you know, subservient. Meaning that you are I wouldn't say entitled, but some type of way you're indebted to people. So it could be, like I said, bond could be a lot of different things. It could be imprisonment. It could be in money. There are people in bondage to their jobs, in bondage to their debt. A lot of people have a lot of debt. You're in bondage to that. So, amen. So we see that all kinds of people, basically what this is saying, for people from all walks of life receive a mark. So you won't escape. It don't matter if you in the penthouse, you driving a Bentley, to the people that's living out in the tent or living on the streets, sleeping on a cardboard box. It don't matter where you are. If you're in the jungle and they know you, you're going to see. That's how I think it's how another way to be able to attract people. If they're going to go, because they're getting rid of these militaries are going to the far countries. Because I keep wondering why militaries from first world countries going to third world countries. You see America, the USA, Europe, Asia, their militaries are just going to Africa, South America. They're going to the farthest country and mainly to Africa. Who know that Africa and South America have a lot of jungles, and these are a lot of places that you have secluded people to where it's like hard to get to, or, you know, they ain't been messed with or bothered for thousands of years. They still walk around, excuse my language and my wording, they're still walking around half nude or basically half naked. And you're like, man, these folks, they are really back, they are like basically before, living like they were before the time of Christ. And so they're fine the way that they are. But I think this is going to be one way, amen, the Holy Spirit just revealed that to me. This may be one way that they are able to track people. Golly, you think about that. That is amazing. I never really thought about it because they got all these satellites, and they're going to be able to track you by this chip. Well, no way. If you're in a jungle and say, okay, you want to walk around half naked? Cool. Continue to walk around half naked. Okay, you want to live in the jungle with lions, tigers, and bears? Cool, go ahead and live. We still know that you're out there. Okay, because if you go back to Revelation, amen. The 13th chapter, 16th verse, it says, and he calls it all. Amen. So understand who's the all. All who are unbelievers on this planet. Now, that's why, you know, the word and the message going as far as we can in the world, and people have been evangelizing, going out to these places in the earth where people are, like, secluded, trying to teach salvation, teach Christ, that they may be saved, so that they won't be lost. But people, amen, are going to be all over the planet. People, so they're going to go to the furthest corners of the earth. And remember, the 144,000 are also going to be on the earth, especially that first 3.5 years. They're going to be going strong. So they're going to be going out to the farthest corners of the earth. We're preaching. In fact, we know that they're going to be there because why? They're probably not going to be around heavily populated areas because they are, but there's going to be some that's not. Because why? Because the people are going to be after them. People are going to be hating them. And there are people who want to kill them before because they're going to be teaching against the lifestyle. They already hate us now. They already hate the church now. But you think about it. Man, you go to the farthest corners of the earth. You got the 144,000 reaching to what? The furthest corners of the earth, teaching and preaching the word. Amen? And then you're going to have Lucifer is going to come, the Antichrist is going to come and say, you know what? I want everybody, everybody. Whether they be rich, poor, free, bond, small, great, I want them all to receive this mark. So as the people, the 144,000 reaching out to the furthest corner of the earth, they're going to be preaching all over the world because they're going to be going hard. You think some of these people out here on the street out here doing this stuff, they're going to be going harder than that. They're going to be 24/7 preaching the word. Because remember, it's going to be hard to survive anyway during this time period because there's going to be scarcity of food, scarcity of job. Most people, this is just going to be their thing. Okay, this is going to be just preaching the word in season, out season, continuously. That's, they're going to make that their job, amen, to preach the word. And, amen, who knows, the Most High is going to more likely take care of them. They're going to be taken care of some type of way, amen. But we know that they're not going to receive that mark in that last 3.5 years. And still be going around preaching the word. Some are going to become saved and say, you know what? Hey, man, I want to get saved, but if they don't get saved before that mark of the beast, Lord have mercy, they will be lost. Amen. You make sure you don't receive that mark. Amen. So let's move forward. Amen. All right. So, amen. So this new money system of the new world order, amen, you know, I think the chip, because the chip and how they're interjecting these things into people, it's probably going to be the best way, amen. I know that that's been a subject of discussion. I know the bishop, amen, me and him talk, amen, Mr. Elder Bazaar, he talks about that, amen. He believes it's a chip. He said he knows for a fact that people are already conducting themselves using that chip, making purchases. That is amazing. I'm like, really? I've heard that. You know, people use these, weigh their hand over the thing. It's allowing them to buy in certain places and do things in certain places, which I can see that. I can see that. I can see, you know, people needing this. Like right now, when I go to the bank, I have to badge into work. And I've always had to do that for the last 20-some years in corporate America. You have to badge into a building. You can't just walk in. And I know in certain places, high-level places, they actually scan your eyeball, which I think is crazy. And we've seen movies like that where people scan their eyeballs to get into places, to high-level places, and you got to let them scan your eyeball. And I'm just thinking, this is crazy. But we think of that as far-fetched, but we know that the technology is out there in which people are doing these things. And so if I badge into a job, now the world's already, we're already accustomed to certain things, which, again, we won't be here as a church, but the world's already accustomed to certain things. So do you think it's going to be that much difficult? You're putting on a mask. You're badging in to go to work. You have to do certain things just to buy. When you go to a store, and like I said before, we know that Caesar taxed the world, the known world. But now the governments of the world that serve up under the Luciferian satanic cult, religion and rule of Satan, they made mandatory that you have to wear a mask at one point. So that's the first time that I can ever recall in my life, or even anybody that's older than me has ever heard anything like that. I'm talking to people who are 80, 90 years old. They said, this is bizarre. We have never seen nothing like this. So that tells me the people who've been around for almost 100 years since the 30s and maybe as close back to the 1920s. And I know, even talking to my dad, you know, he never mentioned anything similar to the Mark of the Beast or any type of command to where, amen, the entire world has been demanded to do something, and the governments of the world has complied. I remember at one point they had a hard time getting all the people in Africa on board to comply with that. And so somebody must have made a phone call, reached out to the governments of Africa, and said, "Hey, it is mandatory. You have to do this thing." Understand that all these people who are in power all over the world, from the smallest country to the largest country, from the first world to the third world, they all, these people that are in leadership, they are all up under the satanic Luciferian rule. Do not think that they are not, because they are. They are serving Lucifer. That's how they are in power. They have to comply, just like companies and stuff have to comply with the rule of the government. The government say, hey, you have to do this, make everybody wear a mask and quarantine and all this stuff. What the companies do? They start rearranging their businesses, all the businesses around the country. If you want to be in business again, if you want to buy and sell, you have to what? You have to rearrange your business just to what? Do business. So, again, they're just preparing what? For the Antichrist to come on the scene. Amen. So you see the centralization of the government, you know, the functionality of the governments, how they come together. We see this oneness coming together. We see the world has come together, one world government, which is going to fall up under that one world religion, because whether you know it or not, religions are behind the scenes, which is the false Lucifer and satanic religion. So understand, either you're going to serve God or you're going to serve the devil. That's just it. That's all it is, God or the devil. So either your religion is God, the Most High Yahweh, or your religion is Lucifer, the devil. Okay? So the religions is what run things. Irregardless of the economic system comes second. Okay, so there's really mainly two systems. You have the religious system and the economic system. That's how all countries are ran. If you look at the countries are ruled by their religion. All countries that are acknowledged as a country, we're not talking about people living in jungles because they live free. They live by their own rules, so to speak. But if you want to live in the civilized, as they call it, quote-unquote civilized world, where you get to enjoy some of these things that we enjoy, okay, you got to go by their system. And we know that the system is run by what? Religion and economics. You look at it, it's all over the world, religion and economics, okay? Now, moving forward, moving ahead, okay? Now, we know that the computerization, the internet, the electronics, the technology, you know, has the ability to bring millions and billions of people in touch with one another. You know, never before was this possible. I think that's amazing how life has, how electricity, well, I'm not going to say, yeah, electronics, or let's just say technology, has basically sped the world up. I think that's amazing. You know how, you know, you can ship something and you can track it over the internet. They have different ways to basically track things. And so technology has increased many things. And when I say increase, it has made the world move at a more faster pace. I remember hearing somebody say that in Africa is very, and not just Africa, a lot of third world countries are more relaxed. They're very slow. There's no rush. There's no hurry. But a lot of your first world countries have, for the past 200 years, 300 years, have increased with technology. You know, for thousands of years, people have used the horse and buggy as a means of travel. We've always used boats, but now boats can move faster. The planes have come into play in the early 1900s, air travel. So you think about this, the knowledge and travel, and I'm going to go back real quick over to the book of Daniel. and show you some things that Daniel saw, amen, in the past. The Holy Spirit revealed to him. Amen. You already know where I'm about to go. Amen. If I can find it, there you go, Book of Daniel. Amen. Once again, I'm a little old school, so it takes me a little bit to get there. We travel the old way. We use the old method. The old method of travel. We're not using the internet and devices. We're going to do the old school way. So Daniel the 12th chapter, we know that Daniel talked about the time of the end himself. This is what it says. It says verse 4 of Daniel the 12th chapter, verse 4 says, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book." And, you know, Daniel's story sounds pretty similar almost to John's story. How some things mirrored John. John was also told to shut the book, to seal the book. And there were some things that John couldn't even release. There were some judgments that he couldn't even release. And so we don't even know what those judgments are. But the good thing about it is that we won't even be here to receive those judgments. Because those judgments are not for the church. It's not for the believers. It's for the unbelievers in the end. Now watch this. It says, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." Wow. So that saying, "many shall run to and fro," means to travel. That saying in the Hebrew is translated means many shall travel, and knowledge shall be increased. Now you think about when the trains in the U.S. and the United States, when they create the trains and how trains increase travel. Now, you remember, as I said, for thousands of years, people rode horseback and camel, right? So you think about that. You think about how man used horses, then they built the carriage to go on with the horse, and boom, they were able to travel a little faster. So instead of months, it took them days to travel cross country for hundreds and possibly thousands of miles. Then you think about, okay, wow, the train system came into play. The trains came around, they were able to travel even further. You know, you get to longer distance really within 24 to 48 hours. So that cut it down from months, went from months to days to about a day or hours. Because the trains can move pretty fast. I'm not for sure how fast trains can move back in that time. But even if you was moving 35 to maybe 60 miles per hour back in those days, that was pretty good consistent. Because that's why they call it horsepower, the power of those trains, that engine could travel consistently. The power of that engine was so powerful. Man, horses have to stop, get water. Biological animals where you're using a technological device, machine, to travel long distance. Amen. Now, then the early 1900s, I think the trains came in maybe in the 1800s, maybe the 1700s, 1800s. Then you had what? You had the planes come in the early 1900s. Planes came into play. Wow. Planes have made us travel so far and so fast. You can go to another country and be there within a day or two. Like you travel to China, Europe, Africa, I believe within the amount of 18 hours. I heard some people say that they could travel to Africa in maybe 18 hours, 24 hours, you can get to another country. That's amazing. In a plane, you know, even the boats move faster now. Instead of months, it could take them maybe a week or two or within a week to travel across the seas. Because why? Technology. And so we saw that, and knowledge shall be increased, and many shall travel. Paul is describing the time of the end. We are to watch the church. This is our job. This is my job to study, whether any other pastor, or preacher, or minister wants to do it, or whether it's a handful of us, or only so many of us, maybe hundreds and thousands of us doing it compared to the millions of people out there preaching. This is our job, is to break down the word and give it to you to make it plain, to make it simple, so that you may understand. He said, the Bible says, in all you're getting, get an understanding. Because we want you to understand what is going on, what is happening out here, okay? What is going on? We want you to be knowledgeable. We want you to have faith in the Most High. We want you to miss this thing, because this thing is about to hit this planet. Oh my gosh. You think the rains, the sinking of these cities, the floods of these cities, earthquakes in divers places, famine is about to hit, pestilences. Oh man, you think this stuff is something? See, these things are sporadic. They're in certain places. But all these disasters are going to hit the earth 7 years continually until Christ come back. And it's just going to multiply as the year goes on. It's going to get worse. The wars and the rumors of war is going to get worse. You're going to actually see people using nuclear warfare. It's going to start hitting countries that has never been touched. You think America ain't been touched? Oh, you can rest assured believe the day of judgment is coming on the United States. It's coming to Europe. It's coming to Asia. It's coming to Russia, Africa, South America, Australia, Hawaii, any place on this planet is going to be touched. And it's going to be judged. Don't you second guess and think that this country or any country on the world, this planet, oh, we worship and serve God, it's not going to happen. You better guess again. Paul said the Holy Spirit, said him that will let it. He's going to step back. He's not going to leave. He's just going to step back. And oh my gosh, don't you know that right now the Holy Spirit is the only thing that's preventing and stopping these things from happening to us right now? The Holy Spirit is what's stopping chaos. Oh, my gosh, you don't know this. The devil wants to tear through this planet. Oh, man, and when he gets kicked out of the second heaven, when he gets kicked out, oh, he's going to be mad as H-E double hockey sticks. And you might as well go ahead and say it. He's going to be mad as hell because he's already been kicked out of the third heaven to the second heaven. See, there's three heavens. He's going to be kicked out from the second heaven to the earth. He's going to be mad. Even the angels are going to be on fire, and they're going to run across the planet. Man, them things, the gates of hell going to open. That's why Christ says that the gates of hell shall not prevail. But the things that's going to come up out of this planet, oh, my gosh. Oh, thank you, Lord, Heavenly Father. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for saving my soul and many others. Brothers and sisters, know that it's coming. Amen. But we thank him for his grace and his mercy today. I got to take this time out to tell you, how can you miss this chaos that's about to hit at some time in the near future? Man, look at here. Salvation, the plan of salvation, Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10, that's how you're going to miss this. That is the only way. You don't have to buy food. You don't have to buy essentials. You have to buy it to live right now. But what I'm saying is you ain't got to go buy a warehouse like some people are doing, buying these little stores here in Texas and put them in the backyard. And we see them popping up. I mean, you go to the store. You used to go get a store for $500, maybe $1,000, maybe $1,500. Man, them things are reaching $5,000 to $10,000 now. For these little, like these little warehouses or like little stores, we call them like little houses. Because we used to have one, and my dad, we built ours when I was a kid to put our stuff in. But people buying them, they're stacking up on food. Hey, man, I remember one time my wife said she went to the store. She was like, wow, all these people are. Where are the people getting the money from? And she said the grocery cart, the lines were just long. This was just like about a month or so ago, she told me. I'm like, what, really? She said, yeah. So the lines are long. She said, well, I just get some. People had grocery carts. So somebody's passing the message along. Somebody's on social media communicating. Again, this is the way, you know, instead of you calling somebody up, you just get on your computer and people be in a chat or a room or something, and there you go. Knowledge has increased. Word travels faster now. We are in the time of the end. Know where you are. Daniel talked about this. Christ came behind Daniel, reiterated. You know, Daniel said, Daniel said it best. He said, "There's never been a time like it." He says, "Let me read what it says." He said, "And there shall be a time of trouble." This is Daniel 12:1, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time, and at that time thy people shall be delivered. So he's saying the same thing. Well, Christ saying the same thing that Daniel said. It's going to be so terrible. So horrible, and words can't even describe what it's going to be like. Men and people will see animation, and know when I say animation, I mean living things, things that we hadn't seen before, in the living. That's what animation. That's what I'm talking about when I say animation. In the living, in life, in real time, they will see things that we have not ever seen before on this planet. Man, you want to play? And when Christ unleashed the thing that he's going to unleash the thing. See, you think the Antichrist and Lucifer are going, but man, when Christ unleashed his judgments and persecutions on this planet, that's called the day of the Lord. That's called the great tribulation. See, the whole seven-year period is the tribulation, but that last 3.5 years is known as the great tribulation, meaning that it's going to be so, man, horrific for the people on this planet, blood all over the planet. Blood on land and in the sea. Oh, my gosh. Woo, Lord, have mercy. We're talking about that red horse. Going back to that red horse. Blood in the sea. Blood on the land, because it's going to be just slaughter. You think people out here killing people now with guns and going in the store, they mowing down 20 or 30 people. You think people are raping and murdering and killing. It's going to be increased to a number that you can't imagine. Death toll is going to be off the charts. They ain't going to be able to keep up with them. There's going to be killing and murdering. That's why I got all these. They don't see. People don't know. All over this planet, there are caskets and areas that you can't restrict. I know Texas is huge, and there are places in Texas that are restricted that you can't go to. I had an older guy tell me that a long time ago when I was young. He said he was out hiking somewhere, and he said it shocked the mess out of him. But he said that now this was his story, not mine. This is what he claimed. He claimed it's like he said they were like military like people that stopped him and told him no. I'm like, are you got to be playing. That's not true. He said no. He said I was stopped, and I like really. He said yeah. So it's like a zone that you couldn't go in. There are places on this planet you can't just wander off to. Somebody's going to stop you. Those gates that says, you know, no trespassing. Or it may have some barbed wire and maybe electrified fence. You obviously know you can't mess with that. There are places on this planet that they are prepared for things that's going to hit this planet. Plastic coffins. They got things dug up in the ground. And they just going to your body and with your head be beheaded, whatever, however the way you die, whether it be starvation, murder, hey, ain't gonna be no funeral, ain't gonna be no pastor and all that, ain't gonna be no family coming. They gonna be just tossing your body in there. Boom, cover him up, toss him in there, boom. And the children don't have to work because the children won't even be here. See, Christ is gonna take the children, the Holy Spirit, God's gonna he's gonna gather the church and the children with him. Okay? Some people call it the rapture. You're going to be raptured up, gathered together in the sky. Paul says, caught up. We're going to be caught up with the Lord forevermore. And Lord, have mercy. Those who are old enough, know better, are going to be left here to deal with that. They're going to have a choice to make. They got a choice to make to receive salvation. Amen. They're going to still have a choice for the mark of the beast. Because at the time that you receive that mark in your forehead or your hand, it's it. You can count it. You can get ready. You can get the gasoline draws out because you're going to be burning in the lake of fire for all eternity. That ain't no joke. That ain't nothing to play with. And I've met people, man, I'm tired of witnessing the people who will scoff at the messages that I preach. Oh, ha, ha, that's most of that's a joke. That's a fairy tale. That ain't real. I mean, I still have family members that they tell me stuff crazy like that. Oh, that ain't real. That's a joke. And I'm sitting there scratching my head like, man, you know, how in the world could you think that this is a joke when the writing's on the wall? We've seen so many things according to the word reveal itself before our eyes. See, if you're watching, as Christ said and as Paul said, if you are watching, you see. But see, if you ain't watching, if you still didn't want to know who played Monday Night Football, who won the baseball game, who won the World Series, or who won the basketball NBA Finals, you want to know what happened in the latest Housewives, the latest great show or movie that's out, you into the video games and the you online playing video games with people, you out here in the streets, just whatever. You just going to and fro. You just traveling. You're just going about your life daily. Daniel talks about these things. Many shall travel. But what does that mean? People are going to be moving around. Right now, man, I mean, people will mow you down, amen, in the metro. Not only just in the metro, in all places. Man, I was, you know, moving around in Texas about a month or so ago. Man, people will mow you down. People don't care. People will mow you in any city. It's like, what in the world? Why is everybody in the rush? Where are you going? People are traveling. They are moving around. They're on the phone. Let me tell you how fast some people travel. Some people travel so fast, they are driving fast and texting. See, they send them, and they can't wait to get home. They got to get this message out right now while they're driving 70 miles per hour. Like, Lord, have mercy. I can see people while I'm driving, they're looking at their phone. Like, you do know that you're going over 60 miles per hour, which you shouldn't even be going over 30 miles. You shouldn't even be texting and driving, period. But some folks, you know, some people will have a little bit of sense. They may be going 30 miles per hour and they're texting. Let's see, I don't recommend that either. Shouldn't even be going 5 miles per hour while texting. But there are some folks literally going 60 and 70 miles per hour looking at their phone. I remember in the metro, I was on the freeway, and this woman was going like, Lord, have mercy. You are actually looking at your phone while going 75 miles per hour? Lord, it's like, where are people going? But see, that's what the world is. The world is going so fast that they don't even know what's about to hit the planet. Lord, have mercy. We thank the Most High. Amen. Shout out to Derek Oliver and his team. Amen. For blessing this platform for us to reach as many souls as we are. Invite some people. Amen. If you're listening, invite some family, friend. If you think somebody needs to hear this message, hey, I don't mind. Look. We teach like the old school preachers. My dad was an old school preacher. Amen. My dad was 40 when I was born. Amen. My dad was like, he was like 20 years older than my friend's parents. So he was like in almost a totally different generation. And so he preached fire and brimstone. He did. He preached fire and brimstone messages. And that's probably where I get it from. But you know what? I preach it, but I love you. I preach the truth. Uncompromised gospel, uncompromised word, because I want to see you saved. And I'll tell people all the time, I've told any pastor, I don't care, you know, what congregation, what denomination, how big your church, how small your church, once saved, always saved. Satan does not have that power over my life. He didn't then, he don't now, and he won't ever. My God is more powerful. Christ dying on the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection is more powerful than Satan stealing your soul. Satan don't have that type of power. I tell people all the time, where you get that from? It's not even in the Bible that you can lose your salvation. That is not in the Bible nowhere. You can't show me a scripture. And I tell people, I got three scriptures that would kind of support or help that theory, but it doesn't, because the writers was using an example. In other words, they were saying if it was possible. It was just an example. I don't even share that information. I said, these people can't even find them three scriptures. I will not ever share it, because I don't want to give nobody. I'm not going to give you that few to try to sit there and make up something, because that's not even what they're saying. So you got to do the theology, the study of what the writer was saying. So I don't even give people that. Amen. Amen. We almost at the hour. Amen. I'm just going on. Amen. I have to look up. Got a few minutes left. But no, I want to take this last hour. Hey, man, I feel like it was a good lesson. Hey, man, I just something was said to bless your heart, to bless your spirit. We want you to be saved. We don't want people to be lost. Amen. We want as many people to come into salvation, to come into Christ as possible. Amen. I tell people, I remember hearing this old gentleman say, and I'm going to make this quick. He said, you know, you go and be a doo-doo Christian if you want to. That's the people who want to do right to say that they say. That's not how salvation works. Salvation is by faith. Amen. And we know that once you have the faith, works come. That's why the Bible says faith that works is dead. That's why I said it like that. Faith, because somebody tried to use that against me. Well, you know, faith without works is dead. I said, you're right. Faith without works is dead. That's why it says faith first. Amen. Then works. You have to have the faith. You have to have the Holy Spirit first, which the faith brings the Holy Spirit. And then you walk in the Spirit. Then you'll be delivered from this life, from this worldly life. Amen. That's how it works. You can't do right into salvation. The Bible don't teach that. But Romans 10, 9, and 10, we want you to be saved. All you have to do is confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. You don't have to wait to go back to church. You don't have to wait for your pastor to give you the signal to go ahead to slap you a few times you know, to become saved. That's not how it works. Receive salvation in your home. Romans 10:9-10. Family, that's my hour. I love y'all. I will be off from the air for tomorrow. Elder Bazaar will be back next Sunday, but I'll be back on the air next Saturday. God bless you. I love you.